going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
And now, the Scores draft night coverage continues with more Round 1 analysis. Here's your host, Rami Makhlouf, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That's how it sounded as the Bears made their first pick on night one of the 2025 NFL Draft. Tight end Colston Loveland out of Michigan. Rami Makhlouf with you for the next 3 hours with Tyler Ferengul on the other side of the glass. And on this show, I want to hear two things other than my voice. I want to hear from the people involved, and we will. We'll hear from Ryan Poles. We'll hear from Colston Loveland. We'll hear from Chris Emma live out at Hallis Hall all between now and midnight as I'm with you for the next 3 hours. And I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. If you want to give me a call, shoot me a text, your reaction to the Bears' first pick in the 2025 NFL Draft at pick number 10, Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan. And just for starters, man, do I hate the Packers and Packers fans. Let me just get that out of the way. You heard the booing and the way that they treated us. We'll hear the Clay Matthews. You know what? No, we won't. I don't want to hear that again. Clay Matthews trolling the Bears to start the draft. I don't like it. And that's all I have to say about that, because we got to get down to business and what the Bears actually did with that 10th pack, with that 10th pick. Now, I'll admit, and if you've heard me here on the Score for the last month or so since we've started talking draft, I've been banging the Ashton Jeanty drum hard, like really, really hard. Even before they addressed the offensive line with the free agent signings and the trades that they made, I was like tapping on the Ashton Jeanty drum. And then once they made those moves, I was banging on the Ashton Jeanty drum. And there were the rumors coming into today that they might trade up to number 5 to go and get the running back out of Boise State. And honestly, I know a lot of people didn't want to do that. I would have been good with that. I would have been 100% okay with that, depending on the price. But they didn't do that. I was driving in listening to Grody and Wani and Judson on the way in, and my heart sunk a little bit when they didn't go with Jeanty at number 5. But I was like, okay, all right. They didn't do exactly what I wanted. You don't want to get your heart set on one guy and then judge a draft based on that. So I start going over my big board, my personal big board. It takes up a lot of room in the car. I drive a Hyundai Elantra, and a big board takes up like the whole thing. But I'm going over it, and I'm going, okay, Membu is still there at that point when the Bears picked. Some of the edge rushers are still on the board at that point. And then the board falls to where it comes to the Bears at number 10. And I'm making my way up from the parking garage to the studio. And so I have the draft tracker open on my phone. And I'll be real, when the 9th pick came in and Tyler Warren is still on the board, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I'm just waiting for Tyler Warren to show up on my screen, on my phone screen there to announce the Bears with the 10th pick. And then I keep hitting refresh. And finally it refreshes. The pick is in and it's Colston Loveland. And I was surprised. I won't say disappointed. I was surprised because Tyler Warren was the guy that was getting most of the hype at the tight end position, at least until I would say like the last 10 days, 2 weeks, you started to hear Colston Loveland. And it, when I saw that name come across my phone, the first thing I thought of was last week listening to the Spiegel and Holmes show right here on The Score. And they had draft expert Matt Miller on the show. And this, when he said this, was the first time that I really started to consider Colston Loveland, like maybe equal neck and neck or close to Tyler Warren at the tight end position, because Matt Miller really, really liked what he saw from the Michigan tight end.
I think Loveland is a better route runner. I think he's a better blocker, and I think he's a better athlete. And I know folks in Chicago watch a lot of Big Ten football. What you saw last year was Tyler Warren be schemed a ton of opportunities, which is awesome. They were smart. Penn State did a really good job because they didn't have any wide receivers. So it's like, hey, let's scheme our best offensive player a ton of touches. And it led to huge production. I worry a little bit about Tyler Warren being able to find those openings and find that production in the NFL on his own. With Colston Loveland, I have none of those concerns because he is a better route runner and he is a better athlete. At Michigan, he played in the slot. He played in line. He's a very good run blocker from both of those positions. So I like both guys. I'm not going to disparage Tyler Warren. He's a great player. I would just prefer Colston Loveland. I think he's an easier evaluation as you project those skills to the NFL.
So when Matt Miller talks, I listen. And when Matt Miller said that about Colston Loveland, it raised an eyebrow for me. And I was like, maybe that's the guy. And maybe Tyler Warren isn't even available by 10. And Colston Loveland is the obvious best choice, but they had the choice between the two, and they went with Loveland. Also, when Nate Tice of the NFL Network speaks, you listen, and this is what Nate Tice told the Midday Show last week about the Michigan tight end.
The receiving ability is, he is just so fluid for such a big build. He's a little bit younger, and also when I broke him down and I got to compare them in a longer article, I expected Warren to be a better blocker right now, and maybe I had to project more for Loveland, you know, seeing that he's younger, he has longer arms, which typically means you can add a little bit of bulk to it and bit of strength. That I came in and watched, you know, Michigan's offense, and I am watching Loveland be a better inline blocker. When I mean inline is what you think of a traditional tight end. You know, Mercedes Lewis is probably the ultimate example, a true Y inline tight end. So I think that that ability, which I thought would be more of a projection, is more of a current strength of his game, which gets me excited. So he's younger than Warren. I think he has receiving ability that matches Warren. They just get to it in different ways. Maybe not as dynamic after the catch, but I think his catching range and his route running is very good. But on top of it, that he can do the real tight end stuff. You don't have to hide him. So I just think there's the potential to do more with Loveland than Warren, which is kind of ironic because of how they were used in college, that Warren's versatility actually makes him more of a limited fit for certain teams, while Loveland, I think, can match a lot of teams, including the Bears. I'm just that more versatility and plus versatility I'm excited about with Loveland.
So that's Nate Tice of the NFL Network last week on the Midday Show talking about why he likes Colston Loveland more than Tyler Warren. And again, want to hear from you at 312-644-6767 here on The Score's NFL and Bears draft coverage. So It sounds like to me, and listening to those two guys, reading Dane Brugler's breakdown of these two guys in The Beast over at The Athletic, my number one draft resource, it sounds to me like Tyler Warren is more of the guy that you need to scheme open. But once he gets the ball in his hands, he can do a lot of things with it. He's a big run after the catch guy and can do it. He runs violently and can do a lot of things with the ball, with the run after the catch. Colston Loveland is more of the pure route runner, almost a wide receiver, was used as a wide receiver at times at Michigan. More of the type of guy who can get open on his own. When it comes to blocking, it sounds like from everything I've read and heard from everybody, there are concerns with both of these guys when it comes to blocking. When it comes to Tyler Warren, his concerns seem to be more in the run game. When it comes to Colston Loveland, and you heard Nate Tice talking about, he's more of an inline blocker. He seems to be more reliable in the pass game. Neither of them seems to be overwhelming anybody with their blocking skills. And in reality, you didn't get either of these guys, at least not the top priority was not can they block. You want a tight end to block, but that wasn't the number one priority. The reason you went and got Colston Loveland, and the reason why I'll back this pick and this decision, and I want to hear your thoughts on this pick at number 10 of Colston Loveland out of Michigan, 312-644-6767. The reason I'll back it and I'll trust the Bears on this, if you've heard me, I don't have a lot of trust in Ryan Poles. And I don't know how anybody does when we're going into year four of a rebuild with nothing really to show for it. The reason I'll trust this pick is this feels like a Ben Johnson pick to me, that you went and got an offensive weapon, sort of a toy for him to play with. He ran more tight end, 12 personnel in Detroit than anybody else in the league. We saw what he was able to do with Laporta as a rookie there in Detroit at the tight end position. Colston Loveland has drawn a lot of comps to Laporta. So this feels like a Ben Johnson pick to me. And I'm okay with that because Ben Johnson was the head coach I wanted. It was the offensive play caller that I wanted. And I think most of the people within the sound of my voice wanted that. So to some degree, we got to put some blind trust in that guy and go, well, if he sees something there and he wants that guy and thinks he can do some things with him, I'm going to, for now, trust that pick and have some faith in that and go with it and back this decision. But make no mistake about it. These two guys, Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren, will be compared for probably their entire careers by Bears fans. And it's either going to be, we got the better guy, and all praise be to Ryan Poles and Ben Johnson for making the pick that they made, or it's going to be another failed pick for Ryan Poles. It's going to be the first failed pick for Ben Johnson. And Bears fans for a long time are going to be pointing at Tyler Warren, who got drafted just a couple of picks later. People are going to be pointing to him and going, we could have gotten that guy. Not to the degree of, but kind of like we do with Patrick Mahomes and Mitch Trubisky. This is going to be talked about. This is going to be compared for the entirety of these two guys' careers. So here on draft night, I'll sit here and say I like it. I trust it. Again, going back to Dane Brugler's The Beast draft guide, my number one source for draft coverage. He had Tyler Warren as the 8th ranked football player in this draft, and he had Colston Loveland ranked as the 11th football player in this draft. That's not by position. That's just who he thinks are the best players on his big board. So not a lot separating these guys. And the closer and closer that we got to the draft, I felt like the closer and closer that Colston Loveland got to Tyler Warren in a lot of the mocks that I saw and a lot of the comparisons or position rankings that I saw. And one of the reasons that Colston Loveland going into the offseason and as draft season started up was not getting the hype that Tyler Warren was, his last season at Michigan was kind of slowed down by some injuries, as Stacey Dales told the Mully and Haw show last week. Do we have that?
And then you think about Colston Loveland, the other tight end. Everybody's now saying, well, he might go in the top 10. Well, the medical, obviously, you know, his issue was the third week of his college season last year with Michigan, he had a type 5 AC joint separation. He played through that the entirety of last year. They also went in and fixed his labrum in terms of his surgery. So it was really more an extensive surgery than I think anybody anticipated, but he played through all that. And then when I spoke with him at the combine, he said he would probably be full range within I would say, non-contact within 6 months. So that puts him around training camp. Hmm. So if you're drafting Colston Loveland, are you planning on getting him for week one in September? I don't know. But if you're somebody like the Detroit Lions, who went up 32-12 on Jameson Williams coming off an ACL, maybe somebody in this top 12 sort of range fell in love with Colston Loveland, and why not? The farm kid, out of
from Idaho.
Yeah,
like, from Idaho.
He's a dream. So there's a lot of guys, and Ryan sort of referenced this, like, it's who is your flavor?
So there's Stacey Dales on the Mully and Haw show last week right here on 670 The Score, talking about the shoulder injury that slowed Colston Loveland down and maybe tamped down the hype or the expectations or where he was on a lot of people's draft boards or position rankings, because he didn't have the numbers that Tyler Warren did in their final seasons in the Big Ten at Michigan and Penn State, respectively. We'll hear from Colston Loveland in full later, what he had to say after getting drafted by the Bears. This is what he had to say about that shoulder injury and if or how it'll hinder him moving forward.
How far along are you with your shoulder? The Bears said they think you'll be good by training camp.
Oh, yeah.
And what's it been like kind of having this injury and having to rehab it during a pretty important part in your life?
Yeah, it was difficult for sure. You know, you never want to go through something like that during this process. But, I'm a Christian. I believe in God, and I believe he's always got a path for us. And, you know, whatever he picks for us, is that's what it's meant to be. So I'm glad it was meant to be with the Bears. Like I said, I'm super excited, and yeah, I just thank God for this.
So there's Colston Loveland, says he'll be ready for the season. Loves it, already in love with being a Chicago Bear. I want to hear from you. 312-644-6767. Like I said, when I'm not talking, I want to hear two other things on this show. I want to hear from you on the phone lines, on the text line, and I want to hear from the people involved with the Bears taking Colston Loveland at the number 10 pick in the 2025 NFL draft. We'll hear from Loveland himself, the full press conference from earlier tonight. We'll hear from Ryan Poles in the 10 o'clock hour. Paul Pabst from the Dan Patrick Show. He was at the draft. He'll join us about 9:40, 9:45. And, of course, we'll check in with Chris Emma at Hallis Hall. I wanted Genty. Those dreams died at pick number 5 with the Browns. And I'll be honest, when I saw Tyler Warren available at number 10, I was like, all right, there's the guy. You go and get him. And I was a bit surprised when they took Colston Loveland. But I'm not upset. I'm not upset. The more I look at it, the more I reflect on all the talk about these two guys leading up to the draft, I see why the Bears were doing what they were doing. And like I said, if this is the guy Ben Johnson wanted, I'm going to trust it. On the other hand, if it doesn't work out and Tyler Warren is the better football player, I am going to point that out. And I think Bears fans are going to point that out for the rest of these two guys' NFL careers. Again, Paul Pabst, Dan Patrick Show, coming up at about 9:40. I have a whole segment to talk to you about the Bears taking Colston Loveland at number 10. 312-644-6767. It's day one of three of the Scores draft coverage. Rami Makhlouf with you until midnight and back right after this.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I think I joined you guys last week, and I told you I spoke with an offensive coordinator who was freaking out over the thought of getting Loveland. Is there a chance I can get, like, and his team's in the 20s, and I was like, no, dude, he's not. I said today on that NFL Live show, he's going to go top 10, and he might go earlier than that. 10 is perfect. Tweet me out, whatever you want. My favorite pick of the draft so far is Colston Loveland to the Chicago Bears. That offense, that coordinator, that quarterback, and then to also have Roma Dunze on one side, I love this. Oh, DJ Moore, I love this. Colston Loveland could be like, you know, one of those breakout rookie tight ends that we get every so often.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
That was Peter Schrager, newly of ESPN, on the Pat McAfee show, saying Colston Loveland, his favorite pick in the draft so far, and saying maybe he's that breakout tight end this year like we've seen the last few years. And one of those tight ends who was a breakout rookie tight end was Sam Laporta a few years back playing for Ben Johnson. And that's what I think this move is about. We'll go out to Green Bay and hear from Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show coming up at about 9:40, 9:45. Want to hear from you between now and then at 312-644-6767 as the Bears select Michigan tight end Colston Loveland with number 10 in the first round. Just real quick before I go to your calls and your texts, I know most of the talk, if you were looking at tight ends leading up to the draft, was Tyler Warren and maybe Colston Loveland not as on your radar as Tyler Warren was. So just wanted to quick give you the scouting report. This is from Dane Brugler of The Athletic, and I'll read you the strengths and the weaknesses quickly for Colston Loveland, who goes number 10 to the Bears tonight. Fluid, fast athlete, graceful down the seam, explosive in releases to quickly enter routes and give quarterback a target, can win on slants or posts one-on-one against cornerbacks, makes deft moves to set up defenders, snap breaks, and create versus man coverage, efficient on slam flat plays. Oh, I love football lingo. And engage sell edge defenders before releasing into space. Sticky hands. Oh, that's a good one. Sticky hands, catching radius, and leaping ability were tested often by erratic quarterback play. Plays with toughness over the middle and bounces back after hits. Can leapfrog defenders or use the stiff arm to battle for extra yards. Shows good fight as a blocker in the run game. Penalized just once over two seasons, and that was an illegal formation that wasn't his fault. His coaches praise how much he puts into his craft. Michigan coach Sharon Moore said the guy just works. He works. He works. Reminds me of Blake Corum. And lastly, in the strengths, set Michigan's single season record for catches by a tight end despite missing chunks of time. The weaknesses list, shorter, which is good. Lean body type, lacking ideal mass for NFL inline work. Mediocre play strength limits effectiveness to sustain as a blocker. Needs to focus on keeping low base and tighter hands as a run blocker. Can be displaced from spot by middling contact and pass protection. Low batting average in contested situations. Caught only 2 of 10 contested targets in 2024. Don't like that. Struggles to avoid tacklers after the catch without runway. And Tyler Warren's strength is running with the ball after the catch. So I think that might be where these two guys are a little bit different. Just 12.5% of his 2024 catches resulted in 20 yards or more. So not the big play threat that maybe a Tyler Warren is. And missed 3 games. We already talked about this because of a right shoulder injury, which sidelined him for the draft process, but is on track to be cleared for training camp. So that's the rundown on Colston Loveland, the Bears' first-round pick at number 10 in the NFL draft tonight. We're going to hear from the major players involved, Ryan Poles. We'll hear from Colston Loveland himself, Chris Emma out at Hallis Hall. Like I said, Paul Pabst is going to join me in just a little bit. But I want to hear from you guys, your reaction to this pick at 312-644-6767. Let's go right out to the phones. And Ray in Orland Park, you're on the score. What's up, Ray?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Rami.
No problem.
First of all, in like a vacuum, I'm really not happy with the pick. I didn't see Colston in the top 10 in a lot of mocks. I know that's been modified. Everybody's got their own mocks. But I really felt the Bears needed to leave the first 2 rounds a defensive end, a running back, and an offensive tackle. And now that you have the tight end, which may be a good fit for Ben Johnson, in my opinion, your greatest holes on the roster now to be met with lower picks. And we'll see what they do in 2 and 3. Hopefully they address those needs. But as we said last year, unfortunately, in Ryan Poles we trusted with the Kaylen Williams process. Now it's in Ben Johnson we trust. And I'd like to be confident instead of just always trusting. So thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And thanks for making the call. I didn't want him to get an edge rusher in the first round because with Montez Sweat and going and getting Deo Odengbo in the offseason – You have money invested at that position, and that means those guys are going to play. If you drafted an edge rusher in the first round, they were going to play like 30-35% of the snaps. I don't want to use the number 10 pick on a guy who's going to play 30-35% of the snaps. If one of the offensive tackles, Campbell or Membu, fell to them at 10, I would have been on board with that. Not necessarily the move I wanted them to make because there were concerns about both of those guys, if they're a left tackle, if they're a tackle at all, if they're ready to start on day one. If you're drafting a tackle, in my opinion, they got to be a day one definite upgrade over Braxton Jones and your long-term left tackle. The running back, I was right there with you. I wanted him to go and get Ashton Gentry. But we do have, I mean, unless you weren't on board with the Ben Johnson hire, unless that wasn't the guy that you wanted the Bears to go and get, and I didn't hear a lot of you. I was here the day Ben Johnson got hired. I didn't hear a lot of you. Most people were pretty happy about that selection. Then we got to trust in this guy a little bit. This to me screams Ben Johnson pick. Screams Ben Johnson pick. And he himself at the combine or the owners meetings compared Colston Loveland to Sam LaPorta, who he had in Detroit, and he runs more two tight end 12 personnel than anybody in the league, at least has the last couple of years. Couple of your texts that have come in. I don't think a single score host predicted Loveland from the 815. Another one from the 815. Never heard this guy's name mentioned all day on the score. How were none of the hosts aware of this possibility? I was listening on the way in, and both guys on the morning show, Mully and Haw, predicted Colston Loveland. And I just played you, I don't know, four or five clips of draft experts and NFL experts that we've had on the air who were touting Colston Loveland and saying maybe better than Tyler Warren and maybe the guy that the Bears go with at number four. So I would say to you, listen to the score a little bit more. If you didn't hear that, just listen a little bit more and you would have heard that. Let's go to Al from Cicero. You're on the score. What do you think of the Colston Loveland pick, Al?
I hate it. We have needs. A tight end is a luxury. You know how many tight ends we've been through already? We have needs. I can't believe that they picked this guy when it's a luxury pick. I don't care about athlete. We needed a defensive or offensive lineman. And there's right after we picked this guy, an edge rusher went. An edge rusher. That's what we needed. But a tight end, a luxury.
Al, the reason.
Away, too, I'll tell you that. We give them away after a couple of years. You know that, right?
Al, if they draft an edge rusher in the first round, that guy's going to play maybe a third of the snaps. You want to use the number 10 pick on a guy who's going to play maybe a third of the snaps?
It's a need. We have needs. Offensive linemen, defensive line, a tight
all
end.
All things you can get in the second
Green
round.
Bay. I'm going to Green Bay because I've had it with this stupid team making stupid draft choices.
Don't go and be
and
a Packers fan.
That's all I got to say.
I appreciate the call. You know what they need? You know what the Bears need? They need playmakers, man. They need guys who can make plays. They need guys who can catch the football and do some things with it. Now, I'll say this. I just read you the strengths and the weaknesses of Colston Loveland. His strength isn't big play ability. His strength isn't running with the ball after the catch. That's Tyler Warren. So, quite frankly, Tyler Warren addresses the need that I see a little bit better than Colston Loveland, in my eyes. Again, I understand where the Bears are coming from, and I'm going to back the decision on a little bit of blind faith in Ben Johnson because he's the coach I wanted, and this seems like his pick. But the Bears, as much as they have a need at edge rusher, at offensive tackle, at running back, as much as they have needs at specific positions, man, they just need playmakers. They need difference makers. And after those two tackles went off the board in Campbell and Membu, and after Ashton Jeanty goes off the board, I didn't see the playmaker or difference maker at these positions of need that Al is talking about. I don't think you were going to get, you know, the next Micah Parsons at number 10. I didn't see that in the edge rushers that were left on the board at number 10. I saw guys who have a lot of potential and maybe one day are every down edge rushers, but for the time being and for a team that's trying to win now, you're getting a rotational player. If you take one of those tackles, you're getting a guy who might be a backup in his first year and a guy who might end up being a guard somewhere down the line. I need this football team to win now, man. I need this football team to win football games right now. And to do that, they need to get some playmakers in the building. And I hope Colston Loveland is that. Again, the scouting report makes it look like Tyler Warren is more of the playmaker and Colston Loveland is more of the sure-handed, get-open type of guy. So if you want to take issue and say they should have taken Tyler Warren over Colston Loveland, I might agree with you, and I see where you're coming from. But these other positions that people have brought up already, I'm not using that number 10 pick on that. Now, if you want to trade down and get a Kelvin Banks or another offensive tackle, the guy from Ohio State, if you want to trade down and get one of those guys somewhere in the 15 to 20 range and get a few extra draft picks in the process, okay, fine. But they need playmakers, man. As much as they need anything, they need playmakers.
We will have Paps at 945.
From the 217, my favorite pick was Mason Graham. I knew he wouldn't be there. Once Genty was gone and both tight ends were there, I wanted Colston over Warren. Watch film of both their routes. Loveland's are way better than Tyler Warren's. And that's the scouting report, is that he's the better route runner, much better route runner, almost receiver-like in his route running abilities, and you can line him up anywhere. Doesn't break off a lot of big plays, doesn't do a lot of run after the catch, and not a great run blocker. That's the scouting report on Colston Loveland. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Pilsen and Jack. You're on the score. What do you think of this pick, Jack?
Hey, I don't agree with Al. I'm not going to go green. Certainly some great band about picks, but I'm not sure about the ROI on the tight end between Loveland and Warren. I'm not really sure, but would have loved to see maybe I know we're talking about interior D line or linebacker there. You're talking about impact players within this year. I mean, if they're going to run him and Loveland and Komet, I mean, how many two tight end sets are we going to run? 50%, 75% of the time. I don't know if we got the running backs for that. Whether I know it's Swift, so it'll be interesting to see what we do on day two if we go running back to add in there or go all line, but. Hopefully Loveland's the impact player that he staff thought he would be, but it kind of seems like a smartest guy in the room kind of pick right there. Not going D line, not going O line, and not going maybe linebacker or safety there.
I appreciate the call. You're not going linebacker there, and I don't think you're going safety there. I understand they need some depth at safety and sort of need a plan B for both of those guys with Brisker's concussions, Byard's age. Both of them in contract years. I don't think you're going safety there. I'm trying to look for it right now. I'll find it during the break. But when you ask how much are you going to run two tight end sets, more than anybody, based on Ben Johnson's MO in Detroit, both those guys are going to be on the field. I saw the percentage somewhere. I have it in the notes here. Somewhere. There's a lot of notes.
Do you think Colston, off of first glance, do you think Colston Loveland's going to represent more of the Sam Laporta or the Brock Wright?
No, I think he's the Sam Laporta.
Sam Laporta.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson, I compared him to Sam Laporta just a couple weeks ago. I think we have that in the system. I don't know, Tyler. I think we might have that in the system. But we can. And I'll find the numbers as to how much Ben Johnson runs those two tight end sets. I'll have all that for you. And Paul Pabst, Paulie, live from the draft in Green Bay. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this. Don't get right back to your calls, your text at 312-644-6767. Want to talk to you guys all night. I'm here until midnight. Want to talk to you guys all night about the Bears selection of Colston Loveland, tight end out of Michigan with the number 10 pick in the 2025 NFL Draft. It's Rami Makhlouf with you until midnight on the Scores Draft coverage right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
I think we want to add impact players, guys that can come in and move the needle for us to really put the opposing side in a tough situation where they have to adapt to us and we can kind of dictate terms as we move forward. And so far, just working with Ben and hearing what he wants in terms of the vision of the football team and based on the style and the scheme, we know that we can accomplish that in this draft.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
With you until midnight, we'll hear from the newest Bear, Colston Loveland, selected at number 10 in tonight's night one of the NFL draft. We'll hear from him in the 10 o'clock hour, as well as Ryan Poles. We'll go out to Hallis Hall, check in with Chris Emma, I think around 11, everything is in motion here. We're figuring all this out on the fly. Emma is a busy man, and I've been saying this all night, and I'll keep saying it. When I'm not talking, I want to hear from those involved, like Ryan Poles, Colston Loveland, Chris Emma, and I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767, and I want to hear from this guy who joins me now on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Download the Circa Sports app today. You know him as the acclaimed producer of the Dan Patrick Show and live from Green Bay at night one of the NFL draft. Pleasure to welcome in Paul Pabst. Paulie, how are you this evening? How are things out there in Green Bay?
It's really lively here. I actually found a quiet spot. I'm behind the draft stage right now in a storage room. One of the security guys let me in, so it's actually dead quiet back here, but I'm physically right behind the stage.
Do they know you're a Bears fan, and are you sure they didn't just lock you in a storage room?
You know what's funny about Packers fans? They don't really hate the Bears fans or hate the Bears that much. They kind of goof on the Bears fans a little bit. But every Bears fans I met who they know me or something from the Dan Patrick Show, they always go, you know, I really don't like your team, but I always liked Walter Payton. And I'm like, you know what? We can agree on that. We can agree on that.
We can all agree on that. Paul, what is the reaction out there amongst Bears fans who you know, spent their hard-earned money and made the trip to Green Bay and probably endured a little bit of abuse to go and watch this draft? What's been their reaction to this pick of Colston Loveland at the number 10 pick?
Well, I went right up as close to the stage as I could. And if you watch the draft on TV, if you've been watching it, they have little pens of fans from each team. So there's about 25 Bears fans at a pen, and they pop them on TV, and I jumped in with them. So I was watching with them and talking to them right before the pick. And I think they were a little disappointed when Ashton Gentry, the running back of Boise State, went to the Raiders. I think they thought, wow, he could drop, and it didn't happen. And then when they got to the Bears pick at 10, all the fans in that area were saying, Tyler Warren, it's going to be Tyler Warren, the tight end of Penn State. So when Colston Loveland's name was announced, there was a little bit of a, not disappointment, but a pause of like, okay, but I think they thought they were getting Tyler Warren at that point.
I did too. And Paul, you're a Bears fan. I'm asking you how Bears fans reacted. What was your reaction? How do you feel about the pick?
I'm going to trust Bears management based off their offseason so far. They worked on the offensive line. They worked on the defensive line. They did the right things going into the draft to put themselves in a position to take a tight end and not be beholden to take an offensive defensive lineman. Colston Loveland, I did a little research on him, very little, but a little bit of research on him before the draft. He's 2 full years younger than Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
Not 1 year, but two. He's played 2 fewer years of college football. Does that mean he's maybe a little less pro-ready? Maybe. Tyler Warren got a lot of publicity this year. Some of his plays were Gronk-esque, I would say. And I don't think Colston Loveland got the notoriety because Michigan football, I wouldn't say it was down, but it cooled off a little in the national picture. So he's not quite the household name. Does that mean he's not as good of a player? No, it's just he's not as known.
And I really wanted Ashton Gentry, Paul. I don't know about you. You mentioned that sort of the air was taken out of the sails from that Bears cheering section out there in Green Bay. The air, I was listening to our draft coverage here on the Score as I was driving in, and the air was taken out of my sails a little bit. There was discussion of them moving up to number 5 to go and get that pick. Is that something you would have done if I put you in Ryan Poles' shoes or Ben Johnson's shoes, whoever was making that call?
I'm going to say no. I'm pretty disciplined about this of not drafting a running back too high. I know it's been a really resurgence for the running back with Saquon Barkley, but if you look at Saquon Barkley was taken by the Giants, and it didn't really work out too great. He had a couple of really good years there, but some banged up years, and they weren't ready to have him. I don't know if the Bears are ready to draft a running back at the top of the draft yet. I like the idea of more weapons. I wouldn't have had a problem with it if they dropped him, but if you trade a bunch of draft capital, I think you could draft a guy like Colston Loveland in the first round and come back in the third and fourth round and get a high level running back, maybe not like an all timer, but I think that position could be filled later in the draft.
You know, you said the word weapon. I've been using the word difference maker, playmaker.
Yeah.
I've had people calling already tonight, Paul, and texting and not killing the pick by any means, but bringing up that the Bears have needs. You know, you could have needed an upgrade at left tackle. Maybe you need a running back. Maybe you need an edge rusher. I think as much as anything, Paul, and tell me if you agree, they need weapons. They need playmakers. Yeah. They need difference makers. They need guys who get their hands on the ball and change the game in an instant.
I totally agree with you. And I think they have a few DJ Moore and Adunze, very good players. They don't need wide receivers. Cole Kmet, I think, is like a B-level tight end. I think he's a good tight end. I don't know if he's great. But you can now go to a one-back offense and put Caleb Williams under center, maybe run some more option plays, or I should say play action plays. But remember when the Lions a couple of years ago got Sam Laporta out of Iowa, and he became an instant star for them, and he's going to get a lot of targets. Now you have two tight ends, and that's going to be really tough to deal with. It'll help with blocking. It'll help with weapons. It'll help with like short yardage plays for Caleb Williams. I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Talking with Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show, live at the draft in Green Bay for night one of the draft. I'm looking on your timeline right now of you jumping in that cheering section out there in Green Bay. It's great.
Yeah, I kind of jumped in.
Yeah, did you sneak in there? That wasn't like you weren't planted there. You kind of just slid on in there, Paulie. How'd you get in there?
I did have a ticket to be in that area,
okay.
But I just walked up to where the Bears fans were, and I introduced myself, and they were very nice and welcomed me like Bears fans do, welcome one of their own, and I just jumped around for a minute or two during the pick.
Were you in there when Clay Matthews came out and trolled Bears fans to start the draft? Were you in that cheering section for that, and did people have to be held back?
You know, Clay Matthews, man, he knows where his bread is buttered, though. He is a lifetime Packer. He still lives up here, and he's going to take a shot at the Bears fans and just embrace the local community even more. But you know what? I was just out there a minute ago, and the Packers made their pick, and they finally took a wide receiver in the first round, and the place went bonkers. They almost started laughing because it's like the perfect end to the week for Packers fans. I know Bears fans listening are going to love this, but they had the draft in their town, which they never thought they'd get. Things like this don't happen in Green Bay. They don't get the Super Bowl ever. But this is an event where there's a couple hundred thousand people in the streets tonight. And it was great for the community and everything. And then they finalized the week by drafting a quarterback, a wide receiver in the first round. It couldn't have gone much better for them.
You know, Paul, I hate to say it, but a lot of people had their doubts as to whether Green Bay could even host a draft just because of the enormity of the event and the size of that town. From a distance, you're there. It looks like they've done a really good job of putting that thing together. And Packers fans, which we should expect, have really showed out and have made their presence felt at this year's NFL draft.
It was a really different feeling for the NFL draft. I've been to quite a few back to Chicago and Philadelphia and other places, and the whole Lambeau Field area became a tailgate. Like, you could have watched in Lambeau. You could have bought tickets and watched. There's 40,000 people in Lambeau watching. Then there's a couple hundred thousand people just bar hopping around the streets. And the one thing about Green Bay, they have open space. You know, it's not New York City where there's limited amounts of room. There's tons of room around Lambeau Field to put people.
That is Paul Pabst of the Dan Patrick Show, live from the NFL Draft. Follow him on Twitter at Paul Pabst and see him jumping up and down in that Bears cheering section out there at the draft. Paul, always a pleasure, man. I appreciate you taking some time out and running into a storage closet to join me here tonight. Hopefully they let you out.
Hopefully they let me out. I'll get back there, get some more bratwurst, and hopefully the Bears do well in rounds 2 and 3 tomorrow.
Appreciate you, Paul. We'll talk again soon, my man.
Take care.
And he joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. By the way, tomorrow right here on The Score on Mullion Hall, Brad Biggs of the Tribune joins the guys at 7 o'clock. Jake Butt from the Big Ten Network, he'll be with them at 8:25. Then on middays with Layla and Marshall, John Jansen, Michigan Wolverines radio analyst, he'll tell you all about Colston Loveland. And one of my favorite guys to just listen, break down football, Matt Bowen, Score Bears analyst, he'll be with Layla and Marshall at noon. Just part of the Score's draft coverage here for the next 3 days. I'm with you for the next 2 hours. You can get in on the show at 312-644-6767. We'll hear from you and we'll hear from the Bears' first round pick, Colston Loveland, right after this. It's Rami Makhlouf with you on the Score's draft coverage right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.